In this message, we will be exploring the secrets of the morning stars. The morning stars. We see this in the book of Job, chapter 38. Job chapter 38. When God met face to face with Job, speaking through a whirlwind, asking Job, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I laid the foundations of this present world? Where were you? You see, and it goes on and on, Job chapter 38, 39, and you can see God was principally speaking about a riddle. And if any man is able to solve this riddle, he will be on his way back into eternal life. There's one life, and that life is in the Father. That is what we call eternal life. Praise God. And those who will awaken into life inherit that eternal life. They become co-partakers of that eternal life. Like I said, Job represents man in his tribulation, man in his travail. Job represents man who is groaning, man who is in outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It represents the lower dimensions of existence, which we can call hell, where corruption reigns, where the caterpillar and the worms have a field day, where death reigns supreme. That was the suffering that Job was going through. And it's no different that from what we see in this world today. The whole of humanity is perishing, dying. Dying in the transgression, the great transgression, which was presented to us in allegories. When you see the story of Adam, Adam represents your story. When Adam reigned in life, when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, Eden means pleasure, it is God's kingdom, God's world, God's realm, it is Mount Zion, it is the place of the blessing, it's God's dwelling place. It's a dimension elevated in the spirit where God's eternal presence resides. And that was where Adam was living. Adam was reigning in that eternal life until he was deceived. And what happens in the deception? Adam conforms himself to the mortal. Adam became a terrestrial being. Adam is like that character we see in the book of Isaiah, which we call Lucifer. Praise God. Or you can also see him in the book of Ezekiel. It's mentioned there. This is the state, the pure spiritual state of Adam before he descended into the realm of outer darkness. He descended into corruptibility, mortality. Dying, you will die if you eat of that fruit, which is the wisdom of mortal man. Adam exchanged his God-like characteristics, because Adam represents the image of and likeness of God. We're talking of Adam when he reigned in glory before the fall. Oh, hallelujah. You are looking there at the bright and the morning star. Lucifer means the bright and the morning star. You see, when people read these things, We've read the Bible upside down over the years, you know. We've read the Bible upside down. We've read the Bible with veiled faces. You see, we've been reading parables and never getting to know what was beyond the parable. You see, at times people thought Lucifer was a man with a fork in the hand, with a tail, who goes around, you know, tormenting people, who goes around trying to recruit people and, you know, and put them into some kind of hell somewhere underneath the ground or something. And these are imaginations that men who are in outer darkness are cooked up for themselves. Praise God. But thank God for the Spirit of God. And you see, we just have to humble ourselves to receive the things of the Spirit. So you don't have to look at who is preaching. You have to tune in to listen to your Father. Praise God. At times I preach on these messages and some people, they send these stinkers showing their disapproval. You see, I have some friends who are in the Christian faith, and when they hear me preach messages like this, they keep away from me. And I'm sure they are praying for me somewhere in their closet. They are praying and interceding for me. I probably have lost the way. So, but let us understand that that bright and morning star, which we call Lucifer, represents man before the fall. It represents your state while you sang among those morning stars in the heights of God. Praise God. God is revealing a mystery of our part in Him before this world was. Before man descended and started to live a life separate from God. Praise God. Of course, Job did not understand what God was telling him in Job chapter 38. Where were you, Job? Stand up as a man and answer me. Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you? Job did not recognize that he was among those morning stars. He didn't know. If Job had understood this mystery, Job would have awoken from his, you know, from his predicament and entered back into life. Hallelujah. The only way you can escape death is to know the truth. Praise God. And what is the truth? The truth is that which has been from the beginning. Of course, the lie will always come after the truth, isn't it? You have your devil, the liar. The lie always comes to annul. The lie always comes to contradict the truth. So when you hear anything like lie, liars, you are speaking of something that contradicts that which has been from the beginning. That thing which is hidden God. Hallelujah. God is revealing to us today our state from the beginning. That we are that company of morning stars which are sons of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is why he says that to them that have believed, he has given them the power to become sons of God. In reality, he has given you the power to awaken, to realize once more the glory that you had with God before this world was. Praise God. So you can see that your goal is to rediscover yourself in Christ. See, the power of the resurrection is to raise you up once more so that you can be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus among the stars. So when you see the stars, you're actually seeing personalities seated in heavenly places, seated on God's throne. Because God's throne, the heaven is his throne, isn't it? So when you see the stars, they're actually seated in heavenly places in Christ. He's speaking about you, your true state from the foundation of the world. You see, but like the fallen stars, we fell. We fell from the heights of God into mortality. Have you seen a falling star before? How it just vanishes into darkness? That is how men descend into the realm of what? Of outer darkness. Where there is no knowledge, no understanding. It is the realm of the grave, the realm of the dead. Praise God, but thank God. The power of the resurrection today is working in those who are beginning to listen to the voice of truth. This voice of truth is the trumpet. He said, my sons, awake from the dead and return back to your place in my glory. That is the trumpet. You who are sleeping in the dust, you have made your sojourn in mortality. Awake and return back to immortality. Oh, praise God. Isn't it wonderful? All this is possible today as we hear these things we are hearing. It's not child's play. Praise God. We have to leave the elementary things of the faith, the things that are earthly, so that we can partake of that which is heavenly. Paul speaks about two men in his letter to the Corinthians. You see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He spoke about a man from the earth and a man in the heavens. See, the man of the earth is the terrestrial man, and the man from heaven is the Lord himself. All these are written in the Bible. But people rarely understand these things. And Paul says that in the transgression, we have borne the image of what? Of the earthy. The carnal, the mortal, the corruptible. See, that is where the problem is. The problem is that we exchange our, you know, God-like state, which is pure spirit, which is pure light, which is immaterial. We exchange that for that of a mortal man. That is where the problem came about. Praise God. But Paul writes in that letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that inasmuch as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of what? The heavenly man. And the heavenly man is the Lord from heaven. And only by bearing that heavenly image can we escape the powers of death, tribulation, and what we see in this world today. Not by religious acts. It's not by clapping and crying and night vigils and praying and you know praying this way and dressing this way and not drinking beer and not all that is religion. It has got nothing to do with God's kingdom. It's not about being a good husband or a good wife or whatever. All these things have nothing to do with God's kingdom. Praise God. These are the things that Paul calls the elementary faiths. Anything that is earthly is actually the elementary things of Christ. These are the beggarly elements, the things that actually are supposed to lead us back into the spirit. Praise God. All the formations of men, organizations, in the systems, organized religion, in government, in institutions of men, all of them are simply elementary thing of the earth, which must be done away with. Praise God, they must be done away with. Everything, we must leave that which is earthly and move on to that which is perfect. You see this in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. See it? Let us move on into perfection. And what is perfection? Is perfection about being good, being nice, a good man? I don't have girlfriends, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I pay my tithes, I go to church, I pay my taxes to government, I do every good thing, I don't offend anybody, I don't curse, I don't steal. That is not perfection in the eyes of God. See, there's no such thing as a good man. There's no such thing as a good terrestrial man. Praise God. A good man cannot enter into God's kingdom. We're talking about a good terrestrial man. Praise God. No matter how you paint the outward, it will always be like, you know, a coffin with dead men's bones. That is the best a man can present, spiritually speaking. So when Paul says, let us move on to perfection, he was saying, let us move on to God. Because there is one who is perfect, and that is God. That is why he says, be you perfect as your Father is what? Your heavenly Father is what? Perfect. That is the only standard of perfection that there is. Be you perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Put on the nature of your Father. Put on the image of your Father. Walk once more as your Father, no more as a terrestrial man, but as your Father who is in heaven. That is the perfect. Leaving the elementary things, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. You see, the principles of the doctrines of Christ go beyond even what we see in the Bible. We're talking of even everything you see in this physical realm that we live in. They are all the principles or elementary things of Christ. They are all parables pointing to God, to Father, pointing to your glory among the morning stars of God. That is what they are. So Paul is saying, let us leave the earthly. Forget about baptisms. Forget about all those your doctrines of resurrection, doctrines of, you know, how about repentance and all these things that you have done over the years. Leave aside those things. And now begin to walk once more in the nature of God. This is the step back into starship. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is why I said, thou that sleeps awake from the dust. All the elementary things of Christ are the things of the dust. Praise God, the time has come to awaken back to life in the spirit. That is the only thing that there is. Praise God, that is the way we can walk in harmony, in oneness. You see how it is written in the book of Job chapter 38? It says that the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you? In the beginning. Now notice that the morning stars sang together. You can see the principle of oneness, of harmony. You can see the principle God is one. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. Oneness, speaking the same language, the same tongue, no more the confusion and the contradictions we have upon the earth. When you walk in the Spirit, there is one Spirit, there is one Lord, there is one God and one Father, and we all live by that name. Hallelujah. God wants to restore the stars back to life. God wants to restore the sons of God back to the place of authority. The time has come to shine as the star that you are. He says, to him that overcomes will I give the morning star. And he says again that I am the morning star. Oh, hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. I am the morning star. See, we have to overcome the illusion of life in the terrestrial, the illusion of life in the flesh. Because life in the flesh looks as though it is, but it is not. It is always passing away. See, it is what always passing away. So we just have to hold on to true substance, brethren. Hold on to life as the Lord is revealing it today. The sons of the resurrection, the sons of God, the stars of God, return to your first state as you hear the voice of the prophecy of the words. Hallelujah. Peter speaks about these stars in a subtle manner. You see this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. See it, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. The day star arises in your heart, taking heed to the sure word of prophecy. Hallelujah. Taking heed to the voice of the trumpet, unveiling the mystery of Christ in this hour. See, this is the light shining in dark place. It is the Father commanding light in the sons of God. Take heed to the voice of the trumpet in this hour, and as you hearken to the voice, what happens is that the day star arises in you. What is the day star? It is the morning star. You see, when you hear of a morning star, what do you think the morning star is talking about? See, if you go out and you look in the morning, what star do you see in the morning? It's the sun. See, the star itself is a sun, you know. You see, some of those stars you see out there, you know, at night, some of them are bigger, actually bigger than the sun. It's just that the sun is nearer to this earth. So every man has that day star characteristic hidden in him. See, what happened to the voice will bring out that star. It's an awakening back to truth, to spirituality, not religiosity. Sometimes we confound being religious to being spiritual. It has got nothing to do with that. It's simply by walking in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you walk in God. Because in the Spirit, there is nothing but God. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Hearken to the voice of this prophecy causing the day to dawn in you and the emergence of the morning star that is in you. This is what Paul refers to as the trump of God or the last trumpet. It is sounding now. Praise God. You go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, Paul was explaining how a man who has lived life in the terrestrial can be converted back to life of the celestial, which is the Lord from heaven. Paul says, I shall show you a mystery. I will show you a mystery. And what is this mystery? At the trump of God, the last trumpet, when it shall begin to sound, when people begin to hear the voice of the Spirit, what happens is that it begins to split these vessels of clay. It begins to destroy this veil of mortality. And what happens? It begins to bring forth the immortal and incorruptible characteristics that is within you. It is the star of God that is within you. This is the Lord from heaven. The one who says that I am the bright and the morning star. That is your exceeding great reward. Praise God. God is raising his sons in what is termed the resurrection. Resurrection has got nothing to do with graveyards. Resurrection has got nothing to do with the future event. Resurrection is all about you awakening from that deadened state of being earthly, of being mortal, a mistaken identity, awaken you back into truth, into the life of the Spirit, into the morning star that you are, so that you can once more sing that song. See it? You can sing that song, which is referred to in Revelation as the new song. You can sing that song in the heights of heaven, together with the myriads, the innumerable company of saints that stand upon the pinnacle of Zion. That is the place God has commanded the blessing forever. It's a wonderful thing. It is now as we hearken to the voice of the prophecy on this word. Jesus Christ, mentioned in a subtle way, he referred to these same morning stars. You see, it's in Luke chapter 20, verse 34 up to 36, when Jesus Christ spoke about the sons of the resurrection. See, those who are counted worthy to obtain to that world or that kingdom where there is no more death, God's kingdom. See, he says that these ones never marry or are they given into marriage. They are pure spiritual beings. You see, these ones have left the elementary things of the earth. You can see that marriage is one of the elementary things that every man has to live. Praise God, because marriage is actually a pointer to your marriage to Christ. These are the elementary things that every man has to leave aside to lay hold on the real. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ spoke about this. See, sons of the resurrection. Sons of God. You see it in Luke chapter 20, verse 36. It says, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Another account says, sons of the resurrection. See, these ones who ascend into that realm in what is termed the resurrection, they can never die. They are children of God. They are sons of God. They are equal to angels. That these are the ones that You know, God spoke about, you know, in Job chapter 38 to unto Job, where are you? Where are the sons of God? Which actually the morning stars sang for joy. Sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you? See, those morning stars are actually the sons of God. These are angelic personalities. Oh, hallelujah. These are the ones that walk in the realm of reality. When you live as a mortal man, you're actually living among the dead. Not knowing well who you are, where you're coming from, where you're going. But when you awake at the voice of the trumpet, you once more begin to rediscover yourself, your true nature, your true incorruptible nature, your perfection, as it is from the foundation of the world. Not as a man, no longer as a mortal, but as an incorruptible and immortal Son of God. See, God did not birth flesh and blood. God, immortality cannot birth mortality. So bear in mind that the children of God are spirit. They are born of God. Born of the Spirit. And this is our portion, brethren. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the key back into life. This is the key that will loosen you out of the realm of weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that you can understand once more, experientially, the shout of joy. Praise the realm of joy. It is written in His fullness, in His presence is the fullness of joy. Praise God. This is our inheritance forever. He has come once more to raise us back. So that we can sit once more in the place of all power and authority, far above all principalities and power, far above all the torments that this world presents to us. Praise God, thou that sleeps, awake. Awake as you hear this truth. Be like the stars of God that Daniel saw awaking from the dust. Praise God. How did they awake? They awake by hearing truth. By knowing truth. That is all. Not by religious acts. See, nothing you can do as a man can ever, you know, grant you entrance to God. Nothing. Praise God. All you can do is simply receive freely by hearing. Praise God. That's why you always hear the voice of the trumpet. The voice of God. The voice of the Son of Man. Praise God. The inspiration of the Spirit. Raising His sons back from the realm of dust. Back into the heights of Zion. Where you can twinkle as the morning stars forever. God bless you.